here, Geneva Martin, and she does real fine contralto work. You'll hear her this evening. And LaTanya Brown, who's one of our first sopranos. And Maxine Parker, who just joined us about 6 months ago. And we're very indeed glad to have her. She does a lot of contemporary work for us. And let's see, did we leave anybody out?
Billy.
Yes, Billy, our prima donna. She and Louise have been with us ever since it first started, and we've done a video city called Heaven, and she's been on, that video has been on Black Entertainment Network for a year. And Joyce Franklin, here on the stage, and she's a very valuable soprano, very strong and forceful. You've been introduced, Ralph Franklin, our only tenor. But we chose the spirituals to do because we wanted to keep them alive. We wanted to play a part in keeping this particular type of music going in this society. And when we were asked to do this on this program, we did a little research to find out why they were so potent, why they were so deeply and strongly spiritual, and we found the answers. So we want to share a little bit of this with you this evening. And at this time, I'm going to have Ralph to make an opening statement.
Do you mind if I sit? Can you see? You can see. I'd just like to reiterate what Mildred has already said. It is a pleasure for us to be here. I'm going to move that. Yeah. I'm going to introduce to you a person. He's not here visible because he's deceased now. A person that has been very instrumental in making our society at large, not just our Black culture, not just white, but people of all nations and nationalities, excuse me. I guess basically this guy has been very instrumental in making us aware of the culture of the Black music in order that we can understand why these people sang the way they did, how this music came about the way it did. And I'm going to read just a brief clip from something that would give you to know basically what this person is about. His name is Hall Johnson. Hall Johnson was born in 1888 and he died in 1970. But he has he had an extensive music training where he got his graduate studies at the University of Pennsylvania, and he went on and studied in Juilliard and got his high degree in instrumental music. And I'm going to read to you just one paragraph out of a book that he had written. And the chapter, one of the chapters in this book is entitled "The Music of a Free People." The slaves knew that their songs were the spiritual guarantee of their personal oneness with life, even in a world that forbade them to live as human beings. What they did not know was that a people who couldn't really read, they really could not speak that well, but their music that they did was done out of their life experience. And one of the things that the gentleman was talking about in this writing was that if these people was going to be forbidden to talk, then they should have been forbidden to sing. or even hum, because these people's music was brought about in their lives, in their hearts, through their life experiences, through the things that they had endured in their slavery time. And that was just one of the brief things I wanted to share with you to begin with. I'm going to turn it back over to Mildred now.
I would like you to read that statement about what evolved from their disadvantage and their ignorance about the music that evolved from it.
Okay.
Do you have it marked?
I don't think I have that one at all. I think Joyce has that.
Okay. To tie in with this, the overseers did, like he was saying, like Ralph was saying, did not like for the slaves to speak. But yet and still, they didn't want them to be quiet, because if they were quiet, then they didn't know what they were thinking or what they were talking. So they always told them to make noise. They said, make noise, or and bear a hand. So if they wanted them to make some noise and get to work. So what the slaves did was they sang. And their singing was something that was constant for them. It brought about, their songs were talking about the sorrows of their hearts. You know, they said that the slaves sang because they were happy. The slaves sang because their hearts were full of sorrow. And like a heart that is full of sorrow, that needs to release its tears, they sang their woes away. And in singing, it made them very happy. And that's why you hear that there was almost constant singing all the time throughout the southern states.
I would like to make a statement about one of the things I read, and that is that when the slaves came from Africa, they already had the talent of singing and music. They had the gifts of rhythm and harmony. And the Africans made up songs all the time, and they made up rhymes, and they sang as they worked, but they sang like folk tunes that they would make up. I'm sure some of you have seen television programs which shows the African in the villages singing. Sometimes the harmony is kind of monotonous. It doesn't have as large of a scale as a European scale. And sometimes when you hear, when you see it on TV, you become aware of how so very much the music is similar to the black music here. If you listen to it carefully, the basic background, you will recognize the two go together. But what happened to the slave was when they had to be the coachman, they had to be the nursemaid, they had to be the cooks in the kitchen, and they had to be, there were some in the fields. And on Sundays, when the slave owners went, the plantation owners went to church, they took the slaves with them. They had never heard about Jesus Christ. And there were thousands of slaves being brought into the country every week of all the tribes and the different tongues. And they were bought and they worked, but they would take them to church and they would make them, they had reserved a place for them to sit while they had church. And so for the first time in their lives, they heard about Jesus Christ. And they heard the beautiful stories from the Bible about Jacob and all of the fine patriarchs of the Bible. And they became excited. And when they went home when they took the masters home and their children and all, they would rush to the house behind the plantation and tell the stories that they had heard. And for the first time in their lives, they had heard of a Messiah, someone that would give them freedom from this oppressed way of living. And so they started singing. They could only sing. And every Sunday, they would wait to get another message. And I feel this was a way that God had of bringing Christianity to the blacks in this country and to the Africans, because they had never known about Jesus Christ. And they started calling him Massa Jesus. And what's the other term? My Jesus. And another term, I can't remember exactly, but they held these stories to their heart and they became so affected till they put their heart and soul, because they were suffering intensely. There were terrible things that were going on the plantations, terrible beatings, and then they didn't feed them well. Frederick Douglass made a remark that how could, and he was a runaway slave. Most of you know about Frederick Douglass. He ran away several times, and became a great writer and orator. And he said, how in the world could a man work from sunup to sundown on what they fed them? It was like a cornmeal. And what was their diet?
It was pork.
Speak into the microphone.
Pickled pork. And they also had a fish. It's herring. But he said that the herring was so bad that he didn't feel that it could have made money out in the northern market. And they also gave them some salt. That was it.
And they only had one costume a year, which was poorly made, and little children went like 6 months clothed, and after that they would be naked on the plantation. And Frederick Douglass remarked that he had seen flocks of little slave children, 4 and 5, 6 and 7, without clothes, even in March. Some of these songs came from those particular experiences. Like, there's a spiritual call, you may bury me in the east, you may bury me in the west, but just so I hear the trumpet when it sounds. Is that spiritual? And this was done by a young lady who had barely, her dress was just worn out, and she was cold, and she felt that she was going to die with pneumonia or something. She knew she couldn't live long. And she just started singing it. They would think of words to put together with a melody and rhythm. And we can look back on this experience and thank God that the Lord has brought us so far, not only us, but others too, everybody else, where we can look upon that time in American history as one of darkness, and that we know now that we have come out of darkness into light. But there were some terrible things. Each one of these songs represent a terrible experience. That is why the spiritual is so strong spiritually. Songs like Ride on King Jesus, which I'm supposed to try to sing today, but I can't remember the words because my mind is so tired. And Diane has worked so faithfully with me. And I forgot to mention you, Diane Viscosil. She's a friend of ours. She plays the piano for us, and she has worked on and off with us through the years. She's from... She's from Ferndale, Washington. And she just spent a year and a half, I think, in Korea. And she could tell you a few things about Korea also. But getting back to our Discussion. Every song that you hear that is a spiritual has come from a particular experience. And once you know the story behind them, you can hardly keep from crying. They're so deep. The reason why so many people don't understand them is because they don't understand the experience behind the songs. That's why they don't understand them. They just call them like slave ditties or Negro folk songs. But they go much further than that. At this time, we're going to have a song written by Harry T. Burley. Billy Wood will sing, "Were You There?" I hope she'll sing it now. And then Joyce will sing, "By and By." Now, "Were You There?" is a song that everyone knows. You hear it for Easter and the Lord's resurrection and death. And it's so amazing that that is the most popular song that is written about Jesus' death, but it came from the slaves. Were you there? Billy and I go a long ways back to childhood. Oh, that's a long ways. Oh, dear. Joyce will be doing By and By, and that it was the hope of the slave that nothing better to come, death was the ultimate. And this song has so much beauty in it, it's really sometimes hard to listen to. I know you'll enjoy it.
Oh. to have questions or if you want the choir to sing. And I said, I thought the choir should sing.
Sometimes, I mean, all the time, it's thrilling to see a one page of manuscript of some of the spirituals that we do now that has been made enlarged, you know, with a lot of parts and a lot of syncopation. And when you see the manuscript, there's only like four lines. One is John saw that number. If we had all of our people here, this would be the perfect time to sing it. Today we'll do Same Train, and which is a well-known spiritual. Some of these we do over and over again, but there are so many of them. Some of them are almost unheard of, and they have the same beauty and spiritual impact that the ones that you hear often does. So at this time we'll do Same Train. We're tired, and this is about the only thing we can do. And we want to do something that's kind of rhythmic and cheerful for you at this time.
Same train, carry my mother, same train. Be back tomorrow, same train.
Same train.
we're at this time going to do a number that was arranged and came out during the early 40s, let's see, 39, and during the 40s, there was a group called the Wings Over Jordan. I don't know if many of you remember them. And we've been doing a lot of their songs. And we had the interesting pleasure to have contact with some of the older members this summer. And they have been trying to get us back to Cleveland, Ohio, to join with them in something like an anniversary. And I don't know if it's going to work because there's a great distance between Seattle and Washington and Cleveland, Ohio. But anyway, they're working towards that. But during that time, this was a beautiful, stunning type of religious music that was heard throughout this country. How many of you remember how they used to be on the air like for a half an hour during those times, and you could walk down the street and hear it on everybody's radio? You didn't have to go to your own house to hear it and turn the radio on. All you did just walk down the street at 10:30 on Sunday morning. And a lot of people considered that as their church service. And I imagine a lot of souls were saved behind that music. But anyway, we're going to do one of those from their time, which is still popular today. The Old Ship of Zion. And Geneva Martin will be singing this. She's our contralto. 'Tis the get on board, get on board. With the spirituals, you could never find the creator because they were put together on plantations, and they were just simple melodies, and all of the different groups that work, you know, like the field hands and the house workers and all, they would join in and sing every night. And as the years went by, the people that were more learned, that had education in music, began to put the music together so that it could be passed out and sung in schools and churches and whatever. But they just kind of just sprang into life, really. And it was a thing that kept their hopes bright and kept them alive. Because, you know, there's one text that God gives us that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. And I think that this is where we see this example, because they learned to love the Lord so much until they sang about him all the time. And I believe that he kept them healthy, and he kept them alive, and he kept them with hope until the time came when they were freed. And we just have them as a precious gift today in American history. And we have dedicated our music to this part in American history to keep it alive, because you very seldom hear it. Yes, I would say so. I'm not an authority. I just read, try to do research work on it. But if you'll listen carefully to the African music, it's more on the order of folk. Well, it's African folk tune. It is not American black music at all. Their music has a different type of rhythmic structure and their scale is a little limited. You see, when the Africans came to America, they heard the European music with a much broader scale. So then they just put that into their music. So that's why their music came out such as it did. But if you listen to a lot of the African tunes, you'll notice that it's limited. Their harmonies are limited. And not that they don't have a lot of parts that they can sing, because I know some of the missionaries come back and say that the Africans sing in 10, 11 parts, some places, 10, 11 part harmony. But the structure of the melody is different here with the spiritual. And that is a different. They still have the African rhythmic structure to a certain degree. It's used differently. But because they became influenced with the European, that made their music different. They heard new sounds, different higher notes. I hope I've given you a reasonable answer.
To quite an extent, the spiritual is really the most truly American music, would you say?
Yes, it's supposed to be the only true American music. But for some reason, it's not heard. And there's been different types of black music that has evolved from the spiritual. Then we got into the jazz and so forth and so on. And today we have more contemporary black music that you're hearing all the time. It has changed. And then we even have rock gospel. So there are different extremes. Thank you. That's wonderful. There was a question.
How do you, as performers, get in contact with the depth of feeling, the depth of the experience of the original?
Let me tell you something. When you have rehearsals, when you have hours and hours of rehearsing to prepare for a program, like maybe you're going to be on air for a solid hour somewhere and it's live, you know, no mistakes, you begin to get the feeling.
Tonight, you've whetted our appetites for tomorrow night.
Oh, thank you.
Thanks so much.